As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The best Chicago-style pizza.
Where's the cheese?
It's under the sauce.
There's no cheese on it.
It's under the sauce.
Like, I'm Italian and this is hurting me.
It's from Chicago.
But it's just sauce.
The cheese is under the sauce.
That's not enough cheese.
The cheese is under the sauce.
It's not enough.
It's under the sauce.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, November 23rd. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, as always, got Tass Mellis.
Let's give it up for our Dancing with the Stars champion, Iman Shumpert.
Yes. Well done, sir. Amazing work. I couldn't believe it was season 30 of Dancing with the Stars. Ugh, what? I didn't know it was that high. We got our Top Shot Hot Boy, Rim Dem Lips, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o.
Hey-yo. The international man of mystery, taking it to the other side of the pond still, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
And last, certainly not least, making the magic happen, super producer JD.
Hello.
There he is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Take a second. Subscribe to No Dunks. Like the video. Comment away. Share the show. Appreciate it. In honor of Black Friday and Cyber Monday, you can get all of The Athletic's great writing and ad-free podcasts like this one for just $1 a month for 12 months. Yeah, you heard me. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks before midnight on Monday the 29th, okay? So you almost have a week here to lock in a very solid price. $1 a month for new subscribers.
That's too good of a price.
I know. Sort of scary when you say it that way. So go grab that at theathletic.com/nodunks so they know that we sent you. Okay, we're going to get to the games last night. We got Tales from the Fortress, Lee. We missed you. The boys were down there. We'll talk a little Hawks Thunder. Trey, you have a very fun list for us. Could be quite lengthy, actually. We were brainstorming the idea on last week's show about this Daryl Morey list, these 30 players that they would maybe trade Ben Simmons for. You said, well, he's not going to release it, so I'll just do my own. Is that what you're doing for us?
Yeah, I'm going to drop the list. I mentioned on Friday's show, I had 39 players, but like you said, Daryl Morey. There's only 30 players, allegedly. So I went and I tinkered. I took some names off. I looked at the rosters again, and somehow I ended up with 39 names again. It's like mostly the same names, but there's 39 every single time. It's the perfect number, I suppose.
The top 75. They were supposed to take a few off, but they ended up with more.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's later in the show. Yesterday, though, we'll start with this. The league announced that LeBron James was suspended one game for recklessly hitting, using their words there, Pistons setter Isaiah Stewart in the face during their altercation in Sunday's game. Beef Stew himself, he got suspended two games. Tassie, you did call this. You thought he would get a little bit more than LeBron for escalating an on-court altercation by repeatedly and aggressively pursuing Bron. So I don't think we need to spend a lot of time on this, Lele, but did you think the league got it right? One game for LeBron, two games for Isaiah Stewart?
I did, and I think Isaiah Stewart wouldn't have got any games if he just kind of, you know, was allowed people to hold him back. But the fact that he just kept on breaking tackles and was determined to continue with the fight, the skirmish, whatever you want to call it there, that's really what cost him two games, because it looked like he was completely out of control. Things happen in any game. We've seen other players get hit. I mean, you can go back to the Jokic incident. That was a spur of the moment, heat of the moment thing. Jokic regretted it and he got punished for it, which is fine. Stewart had time to calm down and he just didn't. And then he tried to go through the back way as well to get to LeBron. So I think the NBA had to send a message at him to say, you can't keep doing that. We understand that you were upset. You had blood dripping down your face. We give LeBron James a game. He was getting a game no matter what. But the fact that Stewart was just so determined to drag this out as long as he possibly could cost him the extra game. So I think the league got it right. One for LeBron and two for Isaiah Stewart.
Trey, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think this is right. I think I called Isaiah Stewart the exacerbator yesterday. Escalator yes. is the word that I was looking for, and he definitely was, because like Lee is saying, perhaps he doesn't even get a single game if he just gets knocked in the face by LeBron and is covered in blood and, you know, he lets the trainers attend to him and his teammates kind of get in the middle of him and actually hold him back, but that man did not want to be held back. He kept going at LeBron, so he gets a couple of games. As for LeBron, clearly he deserved a game for this. I mean, that was just a reckless play. Something that a lot of people have done playing basketball. Stop pushing me in the back, I'll get out of here. But unfortunately made contact with the face and it was a closed fist and blood opened up. So that's got to be a suspension, even if it is coming against the Knicks in Madison Square Garden. So right call all the way around as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, the real question, Tass, is if Isaiah Stewart doesn't freak out and want to get at LeBron, does LeBron even get a game suspension? You know, he gets tossed, but does he even get slapped with a game? Or is he playing in Madison Square Garden tonight? I mean, who knows, really? But I sort of think maybe that would be the case. But what are your takeaways from this?
Yeah, totally. The scene went viral. Whether it was an exacerbation or an escalation, I think it was both, Trey. You can call it both. The fact that it got to casual fans. Like, my father-in-law texted me and said, is this the NBA or the WWE? And if Isaiah Stewart doesn't get involved like that, then it's not getting to casual fans. It isn't a viral moment. It isn't this whole big incident. So yes, if Isaiah Stewart just took it on the chin, took it in the eye and did nothing, LeBron, yeah, gets tossed. And then it is a question. It's a question of whether or not he gets a game. Yeah. I don't think he gets one, Skeets. I think you're right. Because it was just became this whole situation. The league can't have that, but they did start it right by giving LeBron a game. They had to do that, and at least they did that in this instance.
Yeah. Fun question before we move on from Mark J. He sent this in by way of Twitter. I feel like we need an official no dunks rating of the different levels of an NBA fight. He says, I think we got four levels. A dust up, a brouhaha, a fracas, and a melee. In my opinion, the LeBron-Stewart situation was either a high-tier dust-up or a low-tier brouhaha. What do you guys think? So, Tass, I just thought this was a fun question. Do you agree with the levels? Is there one you would add in there? What do you think?
Well, yeah, let's take a step back here. Woj tweeted that LeBron got a game for roughhousing. He threw in the words roughhousing. I guess that's not really a term for fight. That's a verb. He was roughhousing. But throw that into the mix of all these words that mean not a fight, really, is what they all mean. I think the levels are melee. That's the top. Melee sounds just, you
because
know,
that sounds like chaotic. That sounds
And then it's all the other words, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, melee wins, and then fracas, brouhaha, dust up. It's like, you know, take your pick. That's like umpires kicking stuff at each other at dust up. Like, I don't know what those words mean.
What do you think, Lee? Is there any other words you throw in there in the rankings, the tiers?
I just really want to know what the difference between a brouhaha and a fracas is, really, because, I mean, where do you draw a line? Where does it become a brew and where does it become a frack? I mean, that's what it comes down to, isn't it? You know?
Well, like, the line is suspensions to me. Dust up sounds pretty minor. No ejections.
Okay.
Just a little bit of everybody's getting upset. Everybody's dander is up. We're going to be tough guy in each other. You could even go forehead to forehead in a dust up, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
Though, if you get ejected, it immediately becomes a brouhaha.
All right.
Something's brewing. Something's brewing, and ha-ha, Adam Silver's going to be giving you a call. Maybe you're getting fined, but if it's just a fine and small suspensions, that's a fracas.
Okay.
Okay.
Anything under 5-game suspension is a fracas. 5-plus games, that's a melee.
Okay.
We're talking about Malice at the Palace. That was a melee. The Nuggets versus Knicks fight, where Marty Collins got a big suspension. That was a melee. So that's those are the tiers to me once you start getting into the disciplines.
Okay. You know, stream team pointing out, where does kerfuffle fall in all of this? Where does tussle fall in all of this? You see that one a lot. I think
tussle's
that was
good
on this one. Yeah. Anyway, so great question there. From Mark J. Thank you for sending that in. And, when we were trying to name this yesterday, you know, Malice at the Palace, mm-hmm. that's legendary. That's just too perfect. We were trying to figure out, well, now they play at Little Caesars Arena. Are we calling this anything? What are some funny names? You guys had some great suggestions. One more came in that I like. Because I kept thinking Little Caesars Arena, the pizza box. I keep going towards that. But a lot of people pointing out, why not the oven? So, Lee, Mikey, he said, what about the shoving at the oven?
What was the
so
shoving? Was it Isaiah Stewart shoving, was it?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess
it's just because
so.
It rhymes. That's the
reason. Yeah, that's a thing. It's a bit of a reach for me. It sounds great. It's just when you look at what it was... It was more an invasion he was trying to elude his own teammates, wasn't he, there? But, there's something there. There's something
there. I don't mind the oven. We can work with the oven.
That's a great nickname for Little Caesars Arena. Things are getting heated down in the oven here in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, good stuff
there, Mikey. No loving at the oven. No loving in the oven. What about that?
Oh, McLovin. Wait till he shows up. Okay, let's get to a few of the games from last night. Let's start with Jaren Jackson Jr.'s clutch three-pointer to get the Grizzlies past the Jazz. Lili, a wild comeback here from Memphis. I can't believe they pulled this off.
This was an incredible win. Very impressive by Memphis because they just played like a team to me that had come off an embarrassing defeat. And they were their effort was questioned by their coach. So you can go one of two ways after that. You can either say, you know what, screw this, we're not playing well. Or you can just go out and fight and scrap and do everything. Because after a 43-point loss, you can actually start to wonder if maybe Taylor Jenkins has kind of lost that locker room there. You know, that's one of those non-effort losses that sometimes blows up to something more. But going into this game, the Jazz, 11-point favorites, and I think that's a pretty decent line, a fair line, because they're a very good home team. They, going into last night, had the best offensive rating in the league, going up against a team with the worst defensive rating in the league. So you can see why that line was the way it was. But the Grizzlies hung in, and again, they didn't play a great game, but they had that because they had a players-only meeting as well. I think we're up to, what, four teams now with players-only meetings? Throw them in. They had a 90-minute one. Like, oh, imagine that at the end. can we just get out and play now, you know? But anyway, so they fought hard. Got back to a tight game, and then Bojan Bogdanovic hit two big three-pointers with less than a minute and a half to go, and it looked like that was going to be enough. Mm. Those were kind of back-breaking threes there, and then that Jazz defense was holding up really well, I thought. The Grizzlies was just struggling to get shots off, like good shots, good looks, but what I noticed is they kept attacking, and they kept getting those second-chance opportunities, offensive rebounds. They grabbed 8 offensive rebounds in that fourth quarter alone. That, to me, right there, shows hustle, shows effort, shows even if we go down tonight, we're not just going to mail it in like we did the other night. You know, that's one of those kind of galvanizing efforts, but you think it's still going to come up short because it's against the Utah Jazz. Mm-hmm. But they kept attacking. They got to the free throw line, couldn't hit a field goal, got to the free throw line, made 4 of 6 there to bring them to within 2 points. And then there was a very weird inadvertent whistle called by the referees on a missed free throw from Ja Morant. It looked like they called offensive goaltending first, mm-hmm. and then it looked like they called defensive goaltending. Turns out Jackson and Gobert's hand were both there at around about the same time, so they just said, all right, jump ball. Let's just have a jump ball. That's the easiest way to decide this. Because if they'd called an offensive goaltending or a defensive goaltending, that would have been 2 points and tied game there for the Grizzlies, so it wasn't. Anyway, Jaren Jackson, Rudy Gobert, jump ball. Jaren Jackson wins it. Ja Morant again penetrates inside. He's got that sort of herky-jerky way of getting in, taking big leaps and big gigantic steps. Anyway, he fires it out. Jaren Jackson, with his shovel push for three, knocks it in. Incredible three. And then the Jazz still had 5 seconds to go. Couldn't get a really good look off. Donovan Mitchell didn't get a great shot off there. So the Grizzlies win one of the most unlikely victories, I think, of the entire season. As I said before, when you weigh up all those factors in Utah, very good defensive team, Grizzlies just not a very good defensive team. Jazz a great offensive team, and they somehow pull this out when they look dead in the water. So I think that's a players only meetings. They work. They absolutely work. What a brilliant.
So who's had them? The Celtics.
Yeah. Okay, the Wizards obviously had one before the seasons. Before the season.
Okay. Oh yeah, yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. Wizards. Now you're adding the Grizzlies, and who's the fourth? You said
there was there was one more I read earlier about. Okay. I can't. But yeah. Anyway.
I'll trust you.
So the thing is, that's one of those wins. Like I say, this one is one that tells me the team is behind the coach. And the players were embarrassed with that performance against Minnesota, because they were, if you look at it again, Ja Morant went 9 for 30 from the field last night. But what I love about him is he's not afraid of the moment. He got to the free throw line, even though he missed that one late there. But he really does live in the moment. He doesn't worry if he's shooting badly. He knows if he can have a chance to win the game to go there. We've seen him take big shots in big moments a lot this season. Some he's missed. He missed one technically last night, but made the right play at the end. And really, Memphis pull off, I think, maybe the upset of the season, really, to do it like they did there last night.
Tass, what did you think of this one?
Well, I just think the Grizzlies' expectation level is a little too high around the league. I know Ja Morant is playing incredibly well, but coming into this game, they're at 500, and that's not far off where they should be. I know their defense has struggled, but they somehow squeak out wins, even though they have an aggregate point differential of nearly negative 5, and now they're 9-8. It's kind of bonkers. I know that 43-point loss against the Timberwolves has a big part of that, but I think their expectation level is kind of matching where they are. Obviously, disappointing 43-point loss, and Jaren Jackson Jr. really is the barometer of this team. Like, he needs to play at a higher level, and then this team will excel. But you know, behind Ja Morant and his MVP credentials to start the season, they just have to play better. And I think maybe Ja Morant, because of the way he's played, because of how phenomenal he's been, because he's carrying the team on his back, I think the expectations have gotten a little too ahead of where they are in their development. I'm not sure why people expect them to be a great team. I think they're doing just fine where they are. They're kind of where they were last year. They have the exact same winning percentage, and you know, they'll be in the play-in tournament again. And if they make it into the actual playoffs, then that's a huge win, I think, for this team that's, you know, kind of just trying to get better internally year to year.
Ja Morant, to me, last night in that game, especially like you said, Lee, attacking, like offensive rebound when he had like no right to get them, that was Westbrook-like. And that was a compliment. I know people say, oh, don't compare him to Westbrook. But in that game, the guy somehow in the 45th, 46th, 47th minute of a game is just playing harder. He's got more energy than it feels like a lot of the other guys out there. And that, to me, you see like those Westbrook games where he sort of just like willed his team into to victory, especially when Westbrook had his own team. I'm not talking about like Lakers Westbrook as much, but that's what I saw from this one. And you're right. Bogdanovich hit that step back three in the corner. Like, well played, totally covered, incredible shot. You think the Jazz are winning and somehow Memphis pulls this off.
Well, Hassan Whiteside certainly thought this game was over after the Bogdanovich three from the corner, screaming. And honestly, a great shot from Bogdanovich. Like you said, he hit a couple of clutch threes there. He probably should have gotten the last shot for the Jazz. But all things considered, I would say my favorite thing, I just love a clutch jump ball. Like Jaren Jackson Jr. winning that jump ball and then Ja penetrating, like you're saying, Ski. It's very Westbrook-esque. 32 points on 9 of 30 shooting, but still going to be attacking there on the very last possession of the game. Kicks out because everybody's focused on him, and Jackson knocks it down. That was great to see. The only other clutch jump ball I can remember from this year, Terry Rozier had one against the Warriors. So yeah.
Terry won the tip.
Terry won the tip. Two beauties. End of the season. Maybe we'll have a top five clutchest jump balls.
Oh, wow. Right. Well, it's funny you brought up that Terry Rozier one, because I also thought the official threw it a little bit to the side of Jaren Jackson Jr. It wasn't perfectly straight. Not as bad as
the human element.
Yes, that's right.
Why don't they just make the players have their arms by their sides then, so they can get the ball up cleanly? Because they
you
go
want
in
dolphins
there.
Up there?
Yeah. They go in there and they can't,
with their nose.
They can't go in because both arms are like
Yeah, you're right.
You know, so have your arms down until he throws it, and then you know it might even it out a little bit, because I think it'd be tough for the refs to go in there. You're small. They're usually tiny. and the players are so big, and you got to be like, you got to throw it so quick before they can just tap it on its way up. So,
I mean, why does it have to be two guys? Let's get all 10 guys involved. Sort of do like AFL style, I guess, Lili, or something like that. Like, let's just like have the ref like just rocket it off the ground, bounce it, and then whoever comes up with it comes up with it. Let's go.
I love that idea. Definitely.
There we go. All right. Go Bombers. Okay.
I thought it was wild just to watch back to Job because he is the story at all times. He shot 10 threes and he's done that a couple times in his career.
Right.
I think he's just evolving and he's comfortable taking that shot now. So it's going to be harder to guard that dude. You know, like even if he's hitting just three of them, you know, which is Westbrook like, you gotta pay attention to him out there. It's an MVP-like season, man. I'm feeling it. The JJJ has to help him out a little bit, but
he did last night.
Jaw's feeling himself, man.
He was great last night. I thought Triple J was. You said like I get what you're saying. Like you thought they'd be like a 500 team, but their expectations this year are not to be in the play-in tournament. I think that's safe to say that they want to be in an actual playoff series. Start getting some reps for your John Morants and your Jaren Jackson Juniors. Like that's probably should be their goal. Like you gotta take a step up here. You can't just be the same, right?
Yeah, but they're taking it slow. They traded Jonas Valanciunas, who could have been their best player last year. If they wanted to be great, they would have kept him on the team. I think they see that he wasn't part of their future, and Jaren Jackson Jr. was. So I think they were willing to take a tiny step. You know, sideways. They were taking an Iman Shumpert dance step to the left, dance step to the right, and so they can step forward, so they can shot put their partner and spin her all around and do that thing. Because he was just tossing her. It wasn't Dancing with the Stars. It was lifting with the stars.
No, no. His finale was actually dancing. That last one, that interpretive dance one we talked about on the show a while ago, that was not. That was like
he saved it for the finals.
He did. Quick feet on Chump there. Good win for him. Season 30. Still can't get over that. All right. Let's talk about high numbers here. Let's get to another game. Phoenix Suns. Come on. They won their 13th straight. Beat the Spurs 115-111. Trey, big takeaway.
Well, on last week's podcast, Skeets, you asked if the Bulls are last year's Suns. Mm-hmm. I saw on Basketball Buds this week, they asked which NBA team is last year's Hawks. It could even be the Hawks are last year's Hawks. Mm-hmm. But I'm here to tell you that the Suns are last year's Jazz because Phoenix is on a massive winning streak right now. And it's totally flying under the radar. 13 straight wins for the Suns. Came right after a 1-3 start and basically began once the Robert Sarver investigation news broke, which is quite the response from the Phoenix Suns, but these guys are just taking care of business. Five players in double digits last night against the Spurs. Booker, Ayton, and Payne all had 20-plus, and this came on the second night of a back-to-back. That's how you do it. Post-game, Cameron Payne was asked about the win streak. I really don't think about nothing. Really just a number. Honestly, we just went 1-0 today. That's the mindset you need to win 13 straight games because the competition has been pretty easy for the Suns, all things considered. I'm not sure if they've been the favorites in every single one of their games, but my guess would be yeah. But they're still beating these teams. And beating the bad teams is what pads your win total for the end of the year, which is why the Suns are in second right now. That helps your seeding. You're playing home games in the playoffs. The Valley Boys were lit last season in the postseason. Remember, Suns in four. It's a huge advantage, so they got the Cavs next on Wednesday. Got to win that game. It's the Cavs. They're banged up right now. Then you're taking a double-digit win streak into Madison Square Garden to face the Knicks. That's huge. And then on Saturday, a showdown with the Nets, the best team in the Eastern Conference right now. Keep winning. I think the Suns are going to do it. The Cavs seems like it should be a dub. But I've been impressed. They're a well-balanced team. They look like they have not taken any sort of time off after going to the finals last year, whereas we look at a team like the Hawks. They're having trouble finding that motivation. The Bucks have been banged up. Meanwhile, the Suns, they're just one of the best offensive and defensive teams in the league. Everybody in their starting lineup can score. They got a bunch of guys off the bench who can score. They're looking good. They're the Jazz.
Yeah, what do you think of that sort of comparison, Tass? Do you see it, what Trey's selling you there?
Absolutely. That my one note was the Suns' ultimate compliment would be if you just describe their team as, we just got to wait till the playoffs to see if they can produce. And that's exactly what you say about the Utah Jazz every single season. If they're boring, if they're getting their job done, if they're getting it from everywhere, like Mikal Bridges says, like, we just go out there and we get the job done. That is the ultimate compliment for the Suns. If they can just be a, you know, a 55-58 win team, to see if they can do it again. It's that, it's in the category of the Jazz, like last year. They could be a one seed. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens in the playoffs. You know, it feels like a little bit Spursy of the last two decades while the Spurs were doing their thing. I think that is a real apt comparison. The way they've come together and they can produce, no extreme superstars, no disrespect to like Donovan Mitchell and Devin Booker and Chris Paul. You know, the superstar level is at another tier with some of the other Western Conference teams, but you can hope the Suns can knock them off, for sure. Just like you can hope the Jazz do, too. There's a path. There's a path for the Suns team if they play like this, yeah.
Yeah, Lee, it feels like with Phoenix right now, you know, Kaminsky is out, but, and Trey sort of said it, they have nine guys that are just come in every game. You know, your five starters, of course, and then four guys off the bench in Cam Johnson, JaVale McGee, Campaign, and then Landry Shamet, who's been a nice little addition for them. And everybody is contributing, it feels like. Like, there's no real, like, there's no dud. There's no zero on this squad. Nine guys deep. Maybe 10 once Kaminsky's back. Yeah.
Yep. And JaVale McGee, another solid performance from him last night. He just continues to be a very, very solid veteran for this team, understanding his role. You know, when DeAndre Ayton was out, he came in and just picked it up. Now he realizes he's a bench player for the most part. He goes back to the bench and plays really hard. Just runs, you know, rim to rim. You know, it's a bit of a cliche, but that's what you want from a big man, because he can defend. And then he just doesn't take much to finish around the rim. So he's been really good. But I think that's the thing with the Suns last year. At their best, didn't matter who was out there on the floor, it was like, oh yeah, that guy Cam Johnson, he can knock in that shot. Campaign, they picked him up off the scrap heap, and he turned himself now into a long-term contract there, or yeah, short-term contract, but a guaranteed deal, which is huge for him. So this is what's great. And talking about contracts, I mean, DeAndre Ayton right now in the five games since he's been back, just been incredible for Phoenix. Again, has been, you know, soft competition there, but he's looked incredible. So this is going to cost Phoenix one way or the other. They either pay him now, you know, the max in the offseason, or they have to trade him, because he is going to be getting paid the biggest bucks he can possibly get paid in the offseason. He's clearly showing that right now. Now, you know, a lot of season to go still, but the way that he looks out on the floor, just comfortable. Chris Paul just serves it up on a dish to him so many times as well. I think that obviously helps your case when you have a point guard of that caliber. But Ayton is doing his job. You know, it's like, fine, I'll just go and cash in. He's beefed already this year. He had another 17 rebounds in a game. I think he had 14 there last night. Mm-hmm. Again, you know, sure, the Spurs don't have a, you know, they're not, you're not going up against Tim Duncan there, but he's just showing Phoenix that they messed up by not signing him in the offseason. And good on DeAndre Ayton.
Well, you just pissed off Spurs fans, because they do have Pirtle. Come on, man. He is good.
Well, yes. Yes. I mean, Bill Lamb said on the call last night when he was in ISO against Chris Paul, he said, you do not want to be in this situation.
No.
Chris Paul just hit a jumper in his face. Like, he didn't actually embarrass him all that much. He didn't make him, you know, stumble all over the place. But it's funny when the other team's just like, oh, God, no, don't get there. Just get out of this.
Hey, look, the Spurs put up a fight. And, like, they do this, it feels like, in every game. They keep losing a lot of games, but they're in these games. I remember we said that at the start of the season, that would probably be the case. I also like to picture you as Ayton's agent, Lee, trying to figure out a deal, and you just say, we would like the biggest bucks, please. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. The biggest bucks possible, please.
Just say, this is actually a very easy negotiation here, Phoenix. You know what to do. 5 years, absolute max. Now, depending on any individual accolades he gets this season could obviously change the final amount. I mean, he won't win MVP, but he maybe makes the All-Star team. It's certainly, if the Suns keep rolling the way they are, he could get in there. So that will help him. But whatever the absolute maximum he's entitled to earn is what he's on the track for right now.
The biggest bucks. I like that.
If you signed a max contract, would you want them to write you like a comically sized lottery check? At least the signing bonus.
Of course. I'm surprised. Like, all we see sometimes is like a good Instagram or Twitter photo of like the guy literally just signing the actual paperwork. Yeah, we want those like comically sized checks.
Isn't that memo like the biggest bucks?
Be way more fun. Be a better photo. Get more likes. Right, Tess?
For sure. Like my man Ryan Seton, when he won the tournament on TSN, when he won the bowling tournament, I was there with him. He got the novelty check.
It's great.
The huge one. Of course.
Does
everybody.
Does he still have it?
He's got to have it.
Wow.
Yeah, he won on the Sports Network with Vic Router calling the call. The maple moxie on this kid. I mean, of course he's got that check somewhere. I think it was $5,000 Canadian.
Oh my God.
Whatever.
This story comes up so much. I love it. Shout out to Sets.
Maybe $10,000. I don't know.
I saw he got back out on the bowling lanes. A little rusty, he said. Yeah.
Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah. I guess yeah, I mean, a couple of his bowling lanes.
Couple of his balls drilled, I guess. Go on. What were you saying?
What does that mean?
Oh, you get your custom holes in the balls for a bowler gets, you know, custom drill
what?
Holes to fit perfectly.
Really?
Yeah. Custom balls, baby.
I didn't like
get that.
The placement of the holes or the like, obviously the size of the holes for your fingers.
That's a good question. Definitely the size.
Right.
Maybe the placement too, I don't know.
Like can I put like can I like just go pinky thumb? Like that's it? Like if that's my style, I guess you could. Oh,
wild style, huh?
That's how you bowl?
No, I'm just saying could I? I just want to know I have the option. You say it's custom.
Probably.
How custom can I get? Okay. Yeah. We'll talk about customization when I get to my Indochino ad later. in other action last night, just some other games I'll throw at you. We had Durant scoring 27, and the Nets got a little lift from a rookie, another Cam, to down the Cavs. Terry Rozier's late three-pointer helped the Hornets over the Wizards, 109-103. It's a nice win for Charlotte. They're on a bit of a streak here. Celtics, Bucks, earmuffs, Trey, Pacers, and the Wolves, they all won big. Yeah, Pacers crushed the Bulls. My goodness. And then finally here, the 76ers pulled away in the fourth to beat the Kings to spoil Elvin Gentry's debut. Any of those games, Tass, that caught your eye that you want to touch on?
Well, a couple teams at the bottom of the Western Conference playoff bracket I want to touch on. The Kings and the Timberwolves go in different ways. The Timberwolves, they're rising. They beat the Pelicans. Okay, sure. Yep. They should win that. They've won four in a row, though. They're 5-2 since they changed their starting lineup, and I think that's key. They've got their three offensive players in their starting lineup, Karl-Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards, and D'Angelo Russell, but they've added two defensive players, Patrick Beverley as a guard to play alongside D'Angelo Russell, and Jared Vanderbilt. And that guy is built different. I love watching Jared Vanderbilt because he's a perfect player for the Minnesota Timberwolves. They just need a guy to work his ass off. He's all over the place. His hands are up. He's cutting. He's ready for passes. That's how he scores. He had 16 points yesterday and double-digit rebounds in three straight games. And I don't think he's giving his starting spot back. I think he's just the perfect guy, a big guy, second-round pick. It'd be nice if he could shoot the ball as well, but he doesn't have the nickname of V8 because he's a finesse guy. He works his ass off. He works hard, and, you know, we're going electric. So keep up this nickname as long as you can, as long as we have these big muscle cars. So V8's a good one. It's a very good nickname.
Yeah.
I don't know why people don't talk about him more. He is Vanderbilt different. They like the Phoenix Suns, have had a nice, easy sked recently, and that's why they've gone 5-2 with this starting lineup, and it's going to get harder now, but at least they're going the right way. They're in the play-in bracket, while the Sacramento Kings, my gosh, that loss, first game with a new head coach and Elvin Gentry, you think that they're going to outwork the other team. A Philadelphia 76ers team that has none of their starters.
Right.
None. Not one. And they were up 9 early in the fourth. The Kings were, and I had to go back to watch this fourth quarter to see how they bungled a 9-point lead. And they were just so bad defensively. They just left out every guy on an island. You know, go do it yourself. They didn't rebound together. So the Sixers finished on a 25-8 run. The body language is just so bad on the Kings, especially with De'Aaron Fox. I don't want to play body language doctor, but what's going on? If you have your first game with a new head coach, you have to play hard. You have to play up to your capabilities against a team that's, you know, really just outworking them, with the Philadelphia 76ers, who don't have any of their stars. I don't know if he just doesn't want to be there right now, long term, because they've drafted two guards in a row. I'm going to guess he's on Trey's list of potential trade targets for Ben Simmons that we'll get to. But he just doesn't want to be there in a game where, they got outworked. The eight guys that the Sixers played, their combined salaries less than what De'Aaron Fox gets paid in one season, or what Buddy Hield gets paid
Holy
in one season.
Shit.
So Derek Bodner of The Athletic, if you want stats like that, you just got to pay $1 a friggin' month at theathletic.com/nodunks to read great articles like that. They got destroyed in that fourth quarter. Philly was getting what they wanted. Andre Drummond getting board after board after board, Trey. They just got steamrolled.
Thanks for mentioning it, Tass. JD, please roll that beautiful beef footage.
Andre Drummond had 23 rebounds. New coach, same old beef. That's a lot of roast beef, which is rebounds.
Wow, look at that slick editing there from Trey Kirby, speeding up the action to get to another Andre Drummond rebound.
Hey, if you get two offensive rebounds on the same possession, you best believe it's getting beefed hard. And Tass is exactly right. Andre Drummond was completely outworking the Kings in the fourth quarter. He had four offensive rebounds all by himself. And as you saw, it was basically like Maxey just gets to wherever he wants in the paint. Couldn't really finish, just throws it off the glass. But Drummond is there to clean up the glass. And that's his third beef already this season. A minimum deal for maximum beef, but bummer of stuff for the Kings to take a lead into the fourth quarter and then just get outworked. They didn't even get the dead coach bounce. Like, that's shameful stuff from Sacramento.
Yeah, it's not good, Lili. I don't know if you have anything to add to the Sacramento Kings here. It's not pretty, and you do wonder if a deal will be made. I mean, even if it's a minor deal, if it's trading Bagley to a team for a second round pick and possibly looking at, I guess, exploring a trade for sending Fox somewhere. Because, like, he's playing in a fog. You're right, Tass. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we said that a week or so ago, and he's continuing to play like that.
It is funny, like, when we do get ready for the show, you think, I wonder if someone will bring up this point that I noticed. And De'Aaron Fox on that last three-pointer from the corner was way short. And his body language, the shoulders just dropped. And it was not like frustration or anger, more just like, yeah, here, you know, again, another way of losing a game against a team we, you know, should be able to beat. He just looks like he really needs to change something up. Now, again, he presents a lot of trade value to the Kings, but do they really want to give up on him just yet? I'm not quite sure, especially when you're getting an uncertain return from a guy who could be great, but maybe he's not actually any better in that situation. So that's something to watch for sure, but it also could be the deflection trade coming up, like, quick, let's trade someone so people talk about that rather than the team's performance. But we did see two basketball cliches last night in Chicago. First game back from a long road trip. Often the team stinks, the home team. And they did last night.
Second game back, that was a schedule loss. That's they beat the Knicks on their first game back. So they had a back-to-back after a five-game West Coast road trip. That loss is on the schedulers more than the Bulls, but a nice win for the Pacers, as Kenny Beecham said last night. Enjoy your November win.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. Pacers fans already hate us.
God, I forgot about that Knicks game. Anyway, we had the bing bong.
Well, what's your other cliche?
The new coach bump that usually results in an automatic win against the team that's got none of their starters. You're at home, they're on a long road trip. That's like the easiest win of a coach's career, and instead, it's like just another miserable loss there for the Kings. So, God, what a bad situation that is there. Because, again, this to me shows you that it wasn't one of those just get a new voice in the locker room. This was like, it didn't matter if Luke Walton was on the side there last night. You couldn't tell any difference. You know, they just played the same way. So, yuck.
You may have noticed there was one game that I didn't mention there, and that was the Thunder-Hawks game. Because we were down at the Fortress, and we'll share some of our from our insight and some of our takes after the break, because we got to pay the bills. JD, what do you got for us?
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's a butterfly effect for
real. If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast. That would make me so happy. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything, really. It really is. Wherever you're beginning and wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can, if that's a 10-minute low-impact class, they got those. And when you're ready, take it up a gear, you know, a 30-minute live DJ ride. DJ John Michael, that guy plays the hits. He always gets me going. Start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey. Learn the basics and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Okay, Tales from the Fortress. Yes, you were missed, Lee. I know you just keep going to football matches over there in England, but we went down to watch the Hawks last night. Trae Young scored 21 of his 30 points in the second half. Capella, 10 and 15. Thought we were going to get a big beef in person there, Trae. It was looking good for a while. He slowed down a little bit. But the Hawks, they closed out a perfect five-game homestand here with the 113-101 win over OKC. Just a few notes. Atlanta's found their groove here, Tass. I think that's safe to say. They're 6-0 since they've gone with the starting lineup of Trae, Kevin Huerter, Bogdanovich, and then Collins and Capella as their bigs. So they're perfect right now with that as their starting five. They took over in the third quarter. You saw it with your own eyes there. They held the Thunder to 11 points, held them to 4 of 25 shooting. That sort of like changed the game. And my only other real note is, and Lee, I think you'll like this, I saw a guy with a camcorder.
Was it Shaq?
No, it wasn't. JD, I took a photo. This guy in front of me, I have not seen a camcorder in person in, I want to say, like a decade, but this guy was like getting some bootleg action here.
Yeah. It's funny.
And I had to take a photo of it.
Everyone records everything on their phones these days, and it's normal. But when you see someone doing that, it's like, hey, that's illegal, man. You shouldn't be doing that, you know?
That's like, so funny you said that, because I thought that too. And then I looked around, and there were a good 10 to 15 people on their phones definitely recording you know, the jump ball or the start of the game. I'm like, why am I shaming this guy? But that was cool. So anyway, it was a pretty, again, second half dominant performance from the Hawks. Tass, I don't know if you have anything to add either from OKC side of things or the Hawks.
Yeah, it was a third quarter. Good teams come out and finish the job. Yeah. That's what happened in this one. And obviously disappointing, especially for you, Skeets. No, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Where is he?
Yeah.
You got Xander. I mean, Josh Giddey out there running the show. I mean, he's doing a decent job.
Giddey is good. I liked watching him in person. A couple things. Holy crap, does that guy look to pass? And he is an unbelievable playmaker. He sees, like, really cool angles, I think, out there, especially when you get to see it in person. But, man, creating his own shot, a problem right now. And he's, what, 19? He's got time to figure it out. And I thought also as the game went on, Tass, maybe, I don't know if you agree or not, I thought he got worse and worse. Like, he was amazing in the first quarter. when he had energy, I thought. And as he got a little more tired and was maybe asked to do a little too much because Jesse was out and he was maybe handling the ball a little bit more than he usually does, I just thought he like started to get sloppy with passes and again struggling to score. So, but I was impressed overall by him.
Totally. I think on the Hawks side, Kevin Huerter in the starting lineup, as you mentioned, is big for them. Kevin Huerter is that secondary playmaker that DeAndre Hunter really wasn't. And DeAndre Hunter's out, but Kevin Huerter has stepped in and obviously was a big part of beating the Philadelphia 76ers in round two of the playoffs last year, sending them to the Eastern Conference Finals. And it's sort of like last year where Nate McMillan just kind of has to play guys, and it's working out due to injury. Herter's been great, and Cam Reddish, I think, is growing here as a bench player. I think his shot selection is starting to get a little bit smarter. This is the first time I think he's really run with a good NBA team. I mean, this is his third year in the league, but he barely played last year. He played in only 26 games, and I think he tried to do a little too much to start the season, tried to play make and score off the dribble. But now I think it's a little bit more catch and shoot, a little bit more pick his spots. And I think Nate McMillan's really running with him because he's got so much potential on both ends to shut guys down on the defensive end and to be an incredible scorer. And he's huge, so he's got to play him. But I think we've seen this rocky start is in part for the Hawks because of Cam Reddish, you know, just finding his way as a young player. And so, yeah, there's a lot of that on the Hawks side, as well as the Thunder side, who had a Wiggins out there that has no relation to Andrew or Nick Wiggins. It was an Aaron Wiggins.
What's going on?
Oh, man. There are a lot of players on the Thunder, because you could hear, like, people around us being like, who is that guy? Who's that guy? What's that guy's name? Robinson Earl? Is that his first name? Like, there is a lot of people going, who the heck is that guy? Because, you know, for a casual fan, especially Trey, there are a lot of guys that you maybe haven't heard of or seen before.
What a game for Ty Jerome. He was the Giddey of the second half for the Oklahoma City Thunder. 15 points, 5 of 5 at the free throw line. I haven't checked yet, but I know John Hollinger had some kind of tweet about him since he's a Virginia guy. That's the only guy who knows Ty Jerome. But, I don't know. It was halftime, and we said, feels like the Thunder or the Hawks need to play one quarter of defense, and this will be a win. And that's exactly what happened. Came out in the third quarter and smacked them. I think it's interesting, though, the DeAndre Hunter stuff. Basically, as soon as he went out of the lineup, the team got better at offense and defense. Seems to me they just need to play Huerter more. Like, Herter's been getting the most minutes he's been getting for the entirety of the season. He's better than DeAndre Hunter, so play him more, even when DeAndre Hunter comes back. I know that the idea is that Hunter is going to be your go-to stopper defensively and maybe be able to give you something offensively as well, but he seems to kind of just get in the way. The team looks better when he's been on the bench, and that's true going back to last year's playoffs as well.
I just have some other notes I just thought of. The Thunder should not be allowed to wear orange when they're playing, at least in Atlanta on that court. It looks like garbage. I mean, it's because you got this red and, of course, like white and, you know, a little yellow too, but like predominantly red in ATL, and just the orange, you know, Tass, it just looked, I thought it looked horrible. So that should be a rule. The other thing is, and Lee, you would have loved this, giant inflatable Harry the Hawk, you know, classic. Okay, fine. We were loving it. But the guy or woman operating inside, they brought the tongue out, okay? Like this giant long tongue. Okay, hilarious. It comes out and then it usually goes away. I don't know if it malfunctioned or something, but the tongue stayed out for like the entire time. And it was very distracting and looked really weird.
Yeah.
I think they forgot to just pull it back in and they didn't know it was out there, or maybe it broke or something.
Very hard to tell if it's a bit or not then in those circumstances.
It's inflatable. A bit at first, but I think they reel it in. But it was like out there dangling around the whole time.
When does the bit stop and when does it?
Simmons, it was. I did not like that tongue.
I saw though just the other day Harry the Hawk and a ton of the other mascots were in LA for the Chuck the Condor's birthday celebration, which was unusual to see them all together. So good to see Harry made it back in time to be at home for the Fortress.
Lee, I'm glad you brought that up. We had our buddy Matty O went to the Clippers game. He gave us the inside scoop. Oh, they're celebrating Chuck the Condor's birthday. Apparently, it wasn't even his birthday. I don't know how Matty O knows.
It's like the Queen, isn't it? It's yeah, Queen's birthday is the same. It's like, it's not a
so,
birthday.
So they have a bunch of mascots there, but I was wondering, are there two Harry the Hawks? Like, do they send a secondary Harry the Hawk costume out there, Tass, and someone
secondary
else?
Secondary Harry?
Well, just in case there's a problem getting back on the flight, you know, you just got to make it to the game. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
Yeah, do they fly coach? I mean, how do you fit those big heads in those seats? Like, there's going to be no room.
Does Harry want the birthday party celebration, or does Harry want this, like, no, I'm staying home, you go on the road. Send the intern on the road, you know?
Yeah,
like, what's the better gig? You know, because I would say you just don't want someone to show you up as the secondary Harry. You don't want people to go, oh, this Harry was awesome. So you know what I mean? So.
Okay, here's my theory. I think primary Harry went to the party in L.A., had too much fun at the birthday party, wanted to stay there. They sent back secondary Harry. That's why the tongue was dangling out for the entire time.
Yeah.
They never passed on the info. You got to pull that tongue back in. It doesn't reel itself in.
Right, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I think there's something there.
Yeah, maybe. Second. Oh. Final thing, because this is why you tune into No Dunks, for this insight with us going to these games. They did a contest last night, Lili, basically musical chairs, okay? But you had, I think they had six people lined up. You had to start at center court, that's where the chairs were, run down, make a layup, and then get back to a seat. And obviously would eliminate people as it went on. Okay, somewhat entertaining, nice little wrinkle to your musical chairs there. Gets down to the two final guys. They sprint to opposite ends, and they both hit their layup. These guys are actually not that bad. They hit their layup. They come screaming back, and like you can see it happening in real time. Like they're going for this. I don't even know what they were playing for. Probably like a signed jersey or something. They nail each other, Lili. I don't know if did somebody get the clip? Was it making the rounds last night, Tass? I didn't check Twitter.
I didn't see.
Oh my goodness, we should get that up. They just this one guy hammers the guy.
Yeah.
Like, it could have been bad. Like, it could have been, like, concussions.
It's like a Goldberg spear to the chest amidst the musical chairs.
Yeah, I've seen that at, like, six-year-old birthday parties when it comes down to the last two or three. Oh. They just, no friends. No friends when it comes to musical chairs. It's like, if you can just use your behind to get the other person out of the way, you do it. You don't care if it's their birthday party as well. They're crying over to their mum, I wanted to win. They don't care. Kids go crazy at musical chairs.
Yeah.
Wild stuff.
And if you find yourself in this situation like last night where it's the two and you're trailing a little bit and you probably aren't going to make it to the chair, you got to go for the chair. That's the move.
Right.
You don't try and beat him to the chair. Slide tackle into the chair. Push it out. Like we said, throw the ball maybe off the chair.
Yeah.
That thing would slide. He was like, he went for the seat task, but he should have actually moved the chair. That's what he should do. Because there's no rules against that, I don't think.
Right. I loved it. I loved watching. That was very entertaining.
It was. JD, did you have any notes from the Hawks game down at the Fortress?
Well, I mean, the highlight for me was the musical chairs. And it was, I think it was bad. One of those guys, I don't know, like they were both wearing masks. So I was like, one of those guys' teeth knocked out or concussion protocol or something. But, and they showed the replay on the Jumbotron and we were like,
It was bad.
But I don't think you can touch the chair. Like we were discussing that last night. I think that's a rule. You can't touch the chair other than sitting in.
Sit in it.
Yeah, because that would be.
They didn't say that to them. I'm just saying.
Well, I'm sure they said something before they went out there.
Okay.
My other note from the game was Trey Kirby is a true Atlantan now. He came midway through the second quarter. And he also did the Lee Ellis move because I think he was waiting on that pizza that he had.
Trey came in hot last night. Missed the entire first quarter because of traffic.
Said he had a good first half. I'm just going to have to take your word for that one. First Hawks game for me since moving to the new house. I looked it up on the maps, 27 minutes to drive in. If I leave at 6:45 for a 7:30 tip, should be good.
No.
First time in Atlanta, bud? Oh, my goodness. I got there at about 8:15. That's why I had to get the pizza. I was like, I'm never going to wait for such a short time in line here. I'm here and Lee's always waiting 20 minutes for a flatbread. I walked up, got my pizza, got my drink. I'm like, hey, if I've been sitting in the car for an hour, I need some sustenance here. But I've never felt like I lived farther away from the city than last night driving in. And it was literally all city traffic, too, because it's like once I got into parking.
Oh, I was going to say, you would have got to the arena. You probably saw the arena, and then you were sitting there for 20 minutes.
Exactly right. It took me 25 minutes to get home. I was like, well, this part was cool. Maybe should have flip-flopped it. So next time I'm just going down early, get some shots up like Leo is.
Okay. Smart.
Well, in Trey's defense, though, it was a fast game. So you missed a quarter and a half because this game is still the shortest of the four major sports. Time of game, under 2 hours.
It was
an hour
fast.
And 58 minutes.
Yeah.
What is this? Football? Is this Liverpool? That was so short.
Yeah.
That was incredible.
I mean,
like,
the first,
like no whistle.
And you're right. The first quarter, I don't think there may have been one stoppage in play. I think Capella like tweaked his ankle, remember?
Mm-hmm.
From the 12-minute mark to like the 5-minute mark, where then they like were basically forced to take a timeout, a TV timeout. It flew by. So
Scott, the bartender, was thrilled. Man, he was like, "I'm out of here."
Huh? Yeah, it was like last call at halftime. It felt like 5 minutes into the game.
Yeah, we were struggling to get through our car battery Modellos. things were goddamn gigantic, man. It's nice. It's nice. You don't have to go back so often to get those beers. Okay, so. Last week, Sam Amick at The Athletic reported that Daryl Morey, the president of basketball operations for the Sixers, he had a list, 30 players the team would be interested in acquiring in any Ben Simmons trade. I demanded, both here on the show, on Twitter, hey, Morey, release the list. We want to see it, but we know he's not going to do that. But that's okay, because we got Trey Kirby here. He's done the work. He's come up with his own, I guess, 30-plus names for Morey and the Sixers to target in a Ben Simmons deal. Here we go, Trey. Have you broken these down into tiers, or how you doing this? Alphabetical? What's the play?
Alphabetical. I basketball reference, click the old team name. So we're going to go Eastern Conference alphabetical, Western Conference alphabetical. As you mentioned, Skeets, Amick reported approximately 30 players who would satisfy the Sixers in a Simmons swap. And also a key part of this, there's an internal belief that a fair amount of these players could become available in the next year or two. So it might not happen this season. It could happen next season. I basically asked myself three questions while making this list. First, WDDI. Would Daryl do it? If I think Daryl would do it, he's going primarily on the list. Second, could it happen? Is it possible this player is obtainable in the next two seasons? You know, maybe a trade request happens, maybe a team we're expecting to be good suddenly falls off and is not looking quite like the competitor or contender that we were thinking, and suddenly these teams are up in the air. And third, of course, who says no, which is going to be a question for y'all. So strap up and buckle in. Here are 30-plus trade targets for Ben Simmons, Daryl Morey, and the Philadelphia 76ers. The first three were named in Sam Amick's articles. Damian Lillard, James Harden, Bradley Beal. I think those all fit the bill here.
Yeah.
A difference maker who could become available in the next couple of years.
Yeah. That's what Maury's hoping.
Yeah, exactly right. those are very much at the top of the list. Also near the top of the list, Jeremy Grant, because he was in that Keith Pompey article from last year. You think that's a would Daryl do it if Jeremy Grant is your centerpiece?
Well, I made my thoughts clear about this. Yeah. I think he's very low on the list, but
yeah.
I guess possibly.
I think there's a chance. I think because this is me reading into it that he wants to get it done in the next few months and not wait a year and a half for Beal or Lillard. So he's going to have to lower the expectations to a Jeremy Grant type player, in my opinion. Because I don't know, does Beal or Lillard say it in the next before this trade deadline? I don't think Morey can wait. That's a long freaking time. It just feels like an eternity in basketball to wait a season to trade a guy that's never been
totally bad. I mean, to wait a long time, especially when you have a Joel Embiid who is like in his prime right now.
Yeah.
And also like every season is a little bit of a risk with Embiid in the first place. But, you know, I think if you're getting enough picks back and all this other stuff alongside with Jeremy Grant, at least I think he's a fair addition to the list. Next, from the Atlanta Hawks, John Collins. John Collins for Ben Simmons. Who says no?
Sixers.
Oh, I think the Atlanta say no as well.
Sounds like he's staying on the list.
Yeah. It's okay. Go ahead then, Lee. I mean,
why would the Hawks do that right now? I mean, John Collins and Trey, they just signed him up, by the way, John Collins. He's having a really good season. He is one of those guys whose stats don't tell the full story. He's a great piece next to Trey. They're growing together. Maybe they had a little bit of tension in the past, but when they're playing well, I think John Collins is a perfect complementary piece to Trey Young and vice versa. I don't think Simmons comes in and improves them because of what he offers and takes away from. John Collins can hit the three. John Collins attacks a rim. He's got a beautiful little mid-range shot. And John Collins plays defense, and he's got a great...
Do you think John Collins is better than Ben Simmons, though, in this league?
It's better. It's hard. It's hard to sort of like.
I don't think he is. So. No, and I like John Collins, but
yeah, but it's all about as well. It's not just about like who's the better individual player. I mean, there's more to it than when you're talking about Simmons. And again, it's about fit. It's about chemistry and whether or not like I see great chemistry between Trae Young and John Collins that I don't think they mess with right now for a guy who comes with enormous baggage at the moment.
Yeah, and then you bring up fit. Like, we're looking at like a Tobias Harris, John Collins, Joel Embiid, Sixers front court. It's a little weird.
It's a little weird. Collins can shoot the ball. He's stretching it out a little bit there. I would imagine that the Sixers would want to get a guard back as well if they were going for Collins.
Yeah,
maybe get a Cooper or something. I don't know if that's enough, but...
With Simmons, he needs the ball, and Trey's not going to give the ball up.
Mm. Good point. But having a defender beside Trae Young is very nice. Though they think helpful. They have that in Hunter. So who knows? Okay. Yeah. We got to keep moving here.
Keep on the list, podcast. Though. All right. From the Boston Celtics, they have two names on this one, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. The question I have for y'all, who's more untradeable for the Boston Celtics?
Tatum.
Great
Tatum.
Question. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't think so, Trey?
I think it is Tatum. I would take Brown in a second over Jason Tatum personally, but I do think that Tatum is more locked in as a Celtic there. Obviously, the Sixers would do this for either of these guys, Tatum or Brown.
Yeah.
And I would say it's at least possible that one of the two of them could be in the mix between this season or next season.
Tass, you agree with that? You could squint and possibly see this happening, that the Celtics would move one of those guys, let's say it's Brown, for like in a Simmons deal.
Yeah, if this keeps up, I'm sure they would be reluctant to trade Jaylen Brown or 12-time Tatum. That's Jason Tatum. That's Jaylen Brown. I think they would do everything around them. I think Brad Stevens would try and tinker around them before even contemplating it. So I think they would be pretty low on this list. I don't see it happening myself. But from the Sixers side, hails yeah. For sure, they would want that to happen.
Yeah, that's true. That's the important part of this. We really are looking at this from Maury and Philly's side. Like they have this list of these guys. Whether or not the other team wants to do it, they don't really care, I guess. But I guess they need it to be somewhat realistic.
Got to be a little bit realistic, but WDDI, that's the key here. Would Daryl do it? This one is a risky one. From the Brooklyn Nets, Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving for Ben Simmons. Remember that was pitched in the preseason? Yeah. Hey, let's just swap these problems here. No big deal. Say the Sixers flame out this year. Say the Nets flame out this year. Is this a trade that could happen?
Wow.
Yeah, this is interesting because this would sort of be a repeat of what Daryl Morey did in Houston when he traded Chris Paul for Russell Westbrook. Chris Paul... It seems odd to call him a problem, but he wasn't working with James Harden, so they traded him for Russell Westbrook. So, one problem for another in a way. Has Daryl Morey learned from that? Because he also gave up a billion picks. He's regretted that deal. He's said that, he got swiped on that deal. It's different, but I think he's learned. I say nay. I know it's
no Daryl do it,
but I don't think Daryl would do it.
Okay.
All right, moving on from the Chicago Bulls. I hate to say it, Zach LaVine.
Well, you touch on this one then. Why?
The only reason it's realistic is if the Bulls completely fall off. They looked terrible last night against the Pacers. Like I said, I think that's basically a schedule loss. They've had two duds this year, but LaVine would be an incredible fit right next to Joel Embiid, a guy that can handle the ball, can shoot from the outside, and he's really taken a leap to be in one of the best scorers in the league. I don't think the Bulls do it. I think Zach's going to be getting that big deal come the offseason, but got to keep him on the list because no doubt Daryl would do this one.
Daryl would do it. The Sixers would do that.
In a second.
Yeah.
All right. This one I think you're going to say probably a lesser player than Ben Simmons. From the Charlotte Hornets, Miles Bridges.
Mm.
I don't think LaMelo is a realistic trade target from the Hornets, but Miles Bridges? Is it an upgrade to get Ben Simmons?
Wow. Would you rather... If you're Morey Lee, Would you rather Miles Bridges on your team or Jeremy Grant?
Oh, Bridges.
Okay.
Yeah. I think there's something. I think that could be a sort of deal. I think if I don't think the Hornets would do it myself, but I think the Sixers would be, you would get that phone call from Daryl Morey saying, hey, if Bridges is available and you want Ben Boy, let's talk, my man. Let us do it.
The Ben Boy. If you want Ben Boy, let us do it. Okay, Miles Bridges, probably not likely, but I mean, Daryl would do it, I think. Miles Bridges?
Yes.
Sure. A big enough difference maker. How about from the Cleveland Cavaliers, Darius Garland?
I think he does it.
Daryl does it. But
Daryl does it, Daryl but does the Cavs, it. I don't.
Cavs, no. Ooh, you don't, I don't like think the idea so. They love Garland. Simmons and Mobley.
no, and no. you hear some NBA guys talking about Garland, too. They see it. They get it. They're like, this kid is sort of special offensively. So, I mean, Simmons is, for that team, a difference maker. Yeah, no doubt. But I think they're very high on Garland. So I think they say no, but I think Morey would probably explore that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Morey would jump at that.
But, you know, look, Tyrese Maxey is playing really, really well for the Sixers. Like, he looks like a legit starting point guard. Yeah, it is. I agree with that. So.
Okay.
Keep going, TK.
Uh-oh. Here we go. From the...
That's he's got a deal. He's got a deal. Maybe he's working on it.
He's back, baby. He's back. Okay. From the Indiana Pacers. Talked about this one a lot. Can't happen this year. Could happen next year. Malcolm Brogdon. Is that enough to get back for Ben Simmons? Yeah? No?
Tass loves it.
Yeah, I think it works in theory on the floor. I think they would be really, really good. With the Sixers. I think Malcolm Brogdon is kind of underrated in how he takes to pressure. He will shoot, and I think Joel Embiid would really like playing with that in the fourth quarter. I think he misses Jimmy Butler for that reason in Philadelphia. I think Malcolm Brogdon's got a little Jimmy in him if he's healthy. Now, obviously, you know, all these names, it's a tier down, but I think he's a win now kind of player. So I think it would be a good move, even though he can't. Yeah, Brogdon would be really good.
I think that has to be like Brogdon and another Indiana Pacer, you know what I mean? Note. It has to be like a 2-for-1 there to entice Morey enough, in my opinion.
Who's the second guy you would want? Would you be more interested in a LeVert or one of their big guys, be it Sabonis or Turner? Probably LeVert, I imagine.
Well, if you could get Turner and Brogdon for Simmons, I think you'd do that.
This is getting crazy, man.
All right. Keep the list rolling. From the Miami Heat.
Give him the whole roster.
From the Miami Heat. Wouldn't happen this year. Probably unlikely from the Heat's perspective. Bam Adebayo for Ben Simmons.
Nah. He wouldn't even call him back. I'd say, sorry, Dags.
Hard to imagine Ben Simmons as a Miami Heat, I'll say that.
Yeah, exactly. It could be one of those things that could be the perfect situation for him because they, you know, say, all right, they straighten him out a bit, but there's no way they give up Bam.
I do agree with you.
Isn't that where Ben trains in the offseason? Doesn't he train in Miami?
I thought he was a LA guy.
Oh, is it in LA? Well, I don't know.
Did you call Daryl Morey Dags?
Dags, yeah.
Is that an Australian term for a guy named Daryl?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, we used to play cricket with a guy called.
I don't.
Yeah, okay. We used to play cricket with a guy called Dags.
That doesn't mean everybody named Daryl's called Dags, though.
Everyone I know is called Daryl. Is called.
Okay, sure.
All right, this is a 2-for-1 then. Tell me who Dags would be more interested in from the New York Knicks: Julius Randle or RJ Barrett. Randle and Simmons, not dissimilar kind of players, like, you know, strong guys who use their physicality and their ball handling to kind of get things done offensively. Obviously, Randle has figured out how to hit incredible fadeaways. RJ Barrett, a younger player, definitely more of a role type guy, would help with the 3-point shooting, plays a little defense out there.
What about Quickley and Barrett?
What about him?
I'm trying to just like put myself in the shoes of Knicks fans if they traded one of those guys for Ben Simmons.
I don't think it would
go over well. No, there would be some.
Randle and Embiid could work though. I think that could work because Randle can hit the three. He can spread it out a bit. They wouldn't play on top of each other too much. So, I think I think, yeah, that could work. I just don't see the Knicks giving up Randle.
Yeah, I don't love it. But I also can't decide if Morey would be more into, like, where Randle is in his career right now, probably at the peak of his powers, let's say, you know, sort of an all-NBA guy, like forward and all-star, or the potential of an RJ Barrett who shows you flashes of a future, you know, 5 to 10-time all-star, but also you, like, have these games where you're like, ugh, where is he? He goes missing sometimes. So I don't know which one Morey would prefer. I'm guessing Randle, but I'm not really that convinced. I don't think Embiid and him work all that well together. So I'll say no on that one. If I'm Dags.
I say he would pull it for Randle. God, Randall's just too talented. I think he.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm with you with future versus present. Present, I think he sees that talent. That would be, to me, one of the best players he could get. It would be fascinating to see Ben Simmons in New York, whoever he was traded for. That's just a fascinating experiment. What would Ben play like in New York? Oh, my God.
The crowd would be, like, pleading for him to shoot it every time. Like, he had any space, right? Oh, man. I mean, you thought it was bad in Philly. It would be crazy, I think, in New York. So I think he would... I don't think it would be good for his mental health. Let's put it that way.
Probably not. Yeah. Probably not. This one is a strange one from the Orlando Magic. If this guy is the centerpiece of a deal, maybe you're getting picks as well. Franz Wagner? Franz Wagner? Oh. Would Daryl do it?
No.
All right. Sorry, Franz.
Love Franz.
No.
But Orange Julius is far greater than Franz. I don't know. I thought I'd have a dessert with Franz, but nope. I can't make Franz into a dessert. Doesn't it sound like there's a potential for a dessert there?
Franz and cream or something like that?
Yeah, nice.
Franz.
Yeah,
Franz.
Yeah, maybe I'm thinking pralines.
What the hell are you guys talking about?
Great stuff.
Franz and cream. That's his nickname now for sure. Franz and cream. Fuck. All right, this one's for the Raptor fans out there. I'm Daryl Morey, and I'm calling the Toronto Raptors. I'm calling Masai Ujiri. I say, hey, here's who I want you to trade me. Am I asking for Fred VanVleet, Pascal Siakam, or OG Anunoby? The centerpiece. Who is the number one target for Daryl Morey?
That Morey is asking Masai Ujiri for?
Yep.
OG, I think.
Really? Wow. What about, come on, the powers of Cameroon, baby.
I get it. I just don't know. I'm just not sure with Pascal yet. But OG seems to be on the way up even more every season. I think OG's the one. I think Pascal's more gettable in that sense.
I'm Daryl Morey, and I'm here to say I won't just give Ben Simmons away. Thanks, Sarah. That made me giggle. All right. So I think Siakam.
My name's Masai.
So you go in VanVleet, or you go in someone else?
You want to finish that rhyme first?
My name's Masai, and if you think I'm giving you OG, then... you're too high.
Or goodbye. Yeah.
Oh, nice. Either way. You're too high.
Bars.
Simply bars.
Man.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a tough trio. It's great. You could pick. I know Fred is more of a fit for kind of what they want. I know Tyrese Maxey has been playing really well, but Fred would be phenomenal on there, I think. I mean, Fred would want to take those shots in big clutch situations. I think. I don't know. That's a tough one. That's a very tough one for Masai. I think Masai probably says, ugh, who does Masai say yes to?
I don't know. That one's tough.
I don't know.
It feels oddly realistic that there could be a Raptors Sixers trade.
I mean, there's something. Y'all have a good case for any of them. Like, that's the tough thing to me. I was like, that's how you get 39 names on this. It's like, there are three legitimate Raptors candidates, right? And I don't know. For me, I think it would probably be VanVleet, since we've seen him play alongside point guards for his entire career, hit big shots, play defense. But
yeah,
it's a tough call. Next one from the Washington Wizards today, Bradley Beal. Would Daryl do it for Spencer Dinwiddie?
That's the level of player I think that we're going to find Daryl's got to do it for.
You think so? So that's, I mean, to me, he's like maybe, I mean, he's close to like the Grant level, Jeremy Grant level. I like Dinwiddie when he's healthy. He's actually a really hell of a good player, and he's not afraid of the moment and stuff like that.
He's having a good year.
Yeah.
Bounced back from the injury, feeling good, prime of his career.
I just think like...
Pull the trigger, Daryl.
Well, I feel like these trades would have been made already sure. If this is the level we're talking about. I do.
Yeah.
Because like... At this point. I mean, I know Ben Simmons has his warts and his problems and all that, but like... A lot of these guys that we are like, be it a Grant or something like that, like you're like, yeah, we can still get Ben Simmons under contract for years. And as I said, build his trade value up and you can trade him and then get more assets. Like you can take the long view here, but it's pretty obvious Daryl wants that level above these guys, in my opinion.
I like this from Ziggy. Would he do it? Nicely punned. Kristaps Porzingis. Would Daryl do it? Give me a simple yes or no here. No. Good, we're trimming names off. See ya, buddy. Michael Porter Jr., would Daryl do it?
No.
Nope.
I don't think you can. Not with not this right, back.
No. Too risky.
This is too risky. You already have Embiid that you're like fingers crossed all the time that he's going to stay healthy and play. You can't do that again. No.
Would Daryl do it? Potential first-time All-Star, Andrew Wiggins of the Golden State Warriors. This is one you see batted around quite a bit. Wiggins for Simmons. Would Daryl do it?
No, just because their names rhyme, I don't think Daryl does it.
depends if he can also pick up, Aaron Wiggins from the Thunder? Some sort of three.
He's a throw-in. Yeah. You just get it.
I say no to that from Daryl's side of things. Yeah.
A no on Wiggins. All right. Yeah. How about this one? From the Houston Rockets, John Wall? Wall for Simmons? He ain't playing.
Yeah. He's got
he
the same sort
for he ain't playing.
Yeah, what do you think?
Exactly. Stuck. Yeah, he's stuck with that contract if he gets it the next $47 million next year. Don't think Dags he wants that that dead weight on the books there. So no.
No from Dags on that one. These are the heavy hitters right here. We're in the LA teams. Russell Westbrook for Ben
Simmons.
I'd
love Westbrook and Embiid to be on the same team. But, no, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Yeah, that's going to be a no from me, Dags.
Yeah, too old.
Yeah.
Yeah, too long in the tooth, I think.
That tooth is
if people
long.
Still say that.
Yeah. That saying is long in the tooth as well.
I think the Lakers... They would do that.
Yes.
Yeah,
probably.
They gotta get younger. Long to think about it. Yeah, okay.
All right, from the Memphis Grizzlies, had a great game last night. Jaren Jackson Jr.? Would Daryl do it for Jaren Jackson Jr.? Another big guy, but obviously Embiid's more of a power player. It's a weird fit.
That's a weird one.
It's tough to think of the Sixers with another big guy going out there, right? That's the tough thing.
Yeah.
Which is why my guess is you'll probably say no to this one as well from the Sixers. For the Minnesota Timberwolves, Karl Anthony Towns. Towns and Embiid together.
Weird lineup. Yeah. I think if you were Daryl and like that was an actual offer, I think you have to take that.
Yeah.
I think you do it. I mean, it's almost like Cousins Anthony Davis back in, the Pelicans days, which actually had some success until injuries sort of, bit them in the ass. I think he's just too talented to just do it and you figure out whether it work. And then if it doesn't, then of course you could look to move him again. So
yeah.
I actually would say, yeah, just because of the level of player he is.
Yeah, now, I agree. I
don't think the Wolves are doing it really. But,
No, I think if you can get Karl Anthony Towns, do you think he can be that player we all thought he might have been 4 or 5 years ago. He can shoot the three. He can spread it out a bit. That's what I think is important here. And again, the way that Maxey's been playing, I think you can sort of maybe talk yourself into saying this could be Maxey's position that he's able to fill because all he has to do is feed these other guys. So I think if that's on the table, the Sixers do it.
Yeah, people are pointing out, though, Cat and Embiid got some beef.
It's good. It's like Drummond and Embiid had some beef. Yeah.
Okay. You know,
it's a good two big men on the same side. I think that'd be buds. Yeah. Beef buds. Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be Towns, but I still think there is a Minnesota Timberwolves trade for Ben Simmons that is, in play. Let's call it that.
All right. How about the New Orleans Pelicans? Struggling to start the year. Haven't seen Zion Williamson. I don't think that the Pels are going to trade Zion. But how about Brandon Ingram? Would Daryl do it for Brandon?
I think so.
I think so too.
Yeah.
It could be an okay fit actually.
Yeah. I could see that working. There's a boost of score in there. I mean, you're going from one extreme to the other with Ben Simmons to Ingram. I mean, but yeah, I could see it.
Yeah, I don't mind that one.
He's going to fire away. They'd like that.
The Thunder. SGA seems unlikely. How about would Daryl do it for Lou Dort as the centerpiece?
Gonna be tough to make the contracts work on that one.
True.
So no.
Well, they might get Derek Favors as well.
Yeah. Oh, that was the final note I meant to bring
Double
up.
Dort.
Man, it's crazy to see Derek Favors beside Lou Dort, Lee. I don't know if you've seen it recently. He looks like a giant Dort.
Oh, yeah.
They got the similar look. Their hair, they got the headband. Derek Favors got bigger than I remember.
Yeah.
Maybe it's that orange is not complimentary either. But yeah, he's just a giant Dort we were calling him last night. No to Lou, though. No.
Dort and Derek, Daryl says no.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay, Phoenix Suns, they've been great to start the year. 13 straight wins. But what if they fall off, or what if they come up short in the playoffs this year? How about Mikhail Bridges for Ben Simmons?
Oh, didn't the Sixers have him?
Yeah, they did.
They drafted him. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, because his mom works in the front office something. Like, yeah.
I think Daryl's intrigued by this, but maybe he wants a little Maury. I'm not sure. I think he could get
a little Maury.
I think you've got a bite, though. I think you've got a bite.
I don't think he crosses that Bridges. I don't think he does it.
Do you think there's too much campaign involved if he only does it for Bridges?
I'm
eating these puns.
There it was. 8-1.
All right, back to the Blazers. CJ McCollum for Ben Simmons. Do it already. Obviously, the answer is no, because if the answer was yes, it would be done. Yeah. Moving on. Yeah.
Good call.
Sacramento Kings, they've got a million trade candidates as well. Number one, De'Aaron Fox. Would Daryl do it?
Yes.
Yeah.
What do you think, Skeets? You're a big Fox guy?
Yeah, I am. I mean, the maxi part of it all is where I get hung up too now, Lee. I'm with
you.
You can
have two good guards.
Yeah, you can. You can. I think he would. He would do that.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know if the Kings will explore that. Who knows with the Kings?
How about from the other Kings, Buddy Hield or Harrison Barnes? Who is more preferable for the Sixers? Who would they more want to have? Hield, he's chucking. Harrison Barnes, he's Tobias Harris.
I was going to say.
Harrison Barnes.
It almost has to be Buddy, I think, if they had to pick between the two. Yeah,
I think Buddy's more the specialist that Daryl Morey likes, where it's you know he's going to have the 0-for-9, but he could also have the 8-for-11 a couple of times. So, and Harrison Barnes, I mean, as a loyal, you know, honest, great guy to have in your locker room for sure, but can he sort of, he just seems like a great guy. I just feel, you know, the ceiling of Harrison Barnes. Great, reliable, consistent, you know, but Buddy, I think, is just a little bit more erratic, but that could work in your favor at the right times. I think probably Buddy.
Okay, a lot of people think the Kings have the pieces to do a deal, though. You know, you get a couple players in there. Hey, you throw a Bags in there for Dags, and everybody...
Bags for Dags. All right, two more teams. Two players coming from the San Antonio Spurs. Derek White or DeJounte Murray? Would Daryl do it for either of those guys? Murray's having a good year. We've seen some nice moments
maybe
from Derek White in the playoffs. Seems to have taken a back seat there, though. Murray, I think, is possible.
Put me down for he does it for Murray, doesn't do it for White. That would be my stance on that one. And I don't think the Spurs would do Murray for Simmons, but I think they would do White. So there you go.
Ooh.
Interesting. Yep. Interesting.
Daryl pulls it. Yeah, for DeJounte, that's nice. That's a nice fit with who they have, Maxey and Seth Curry, to fit in a DeJounte would be really nice to have a defensive guard. Yeah. The Spurs wouldn't do it, huh? I guess not. You're right.
I mean, man, I'd love to see Simmons with Popovich. That would be fascinating.
If you can't shoot after playing with the Spurs, buddy, you can't shoot.
Yeah, it's true. See if they can fix it.
All right, last name, one of my favorite trades, one of the most unrealistic. This one would have to be after the Utah Jazz flame out in the playoffs this year. Maybe if they struggle to start next season. Donovan Mitchell? For Ben Simmons? I can't imagine the Utah Jazz doing it right now, can you?
No, not now.
A lot of bad stuff would have to happen, but I think that's an easy yes for Daryl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because that, to me, it's that's like Tatum-like, right? You know, that's the sort of the level of the player we're talking about here and still being fairly young. And yeah, Sixers do it. No way Jazz are doing it. Things would have to go so poorly for them to explore that. There it is.
That's a lot it. Of names. 39 wow. names. How many did we get rid of? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. So we're down to 22 names. I need 8 more for next week.
All right. Well, let us know in the stream, too. I like that. Good stuff there, TK. It's tough. I mean, you throw it out there, and you're trying to put yourself in the Sixers' shoes, the other team's shoes, the fit, like you said, Lee. You know, you have a big in Embiid who's an all-NBA player. Do you believe in Maxey? You got Tobias Harris. Half these guys you mentioned just feel like Tobias Harris. So, yeah, it's a difficult... Man, trading in the NBA is not as easy as they maybe say it is. Okay, we got to take one more break. When we come back, an excellent tweet of the night from our man Lili, so don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Hey, those were two great ad reads.
Thanks, man.
You're welcome.
From a punk and a poet that you know it.
Yeah, those were good. You brought it. JD, before we get to Tweet of the Night, I saw a comment here in the stream team from Ibrahim. He asks, Lee Ellis for Ben Simmons. Would JD do it?
In a heartbeat. In a heartbeat.
No!
It's perfect. Then I get to play in the NBA. So, great.
Lee would do it.
I'm kidding, Lee. I would never give you up. Never. I'm never going to give you up. I'm Rick Astley over here.
All right. I didn't think so. No way.
We'll be together forever. Is that what you're saying, JD?
That's exactly right.
Okay, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Well, Lili, sometimes the NBA just hands you a Tweet of the Night on a silver platter. Am I right?
Absolutely you are, Skeety. Of course we have to talk about Kyle Kuzma and the whatever the hell this was he wore last night. The tweet officially comes in here from Molly Morrison, because here's Kuz posting this, whatever this was. I thought it was a Photoshop at first when I first saw it. I was like, this can't be real. I thought it was one of those, you know, get 25 likes and this will just get bigger and bigger. But this is actually what Kuz wore.
Yes. For those listening, it's a giant ass pink sweater. Like,
yeah,
huge.
There it is. Yeah. Just ridiculous. Anyway, you don't wear something sweater like that and not expect to get lit up by your colleagues and friends. And that's exactly what happened on Instagram. And as Molly said, Kyle was fighting for his life, getting comments from everybody. What have we got? The first one here from King James. Ain't no fucking way you wore that. I'm not pressing the like button because this is outrageous, Kuz. Kuz shots back, LMAO. That shit fire. Okay. J.R. Smith. Man, hell no. Kuz writes back, cold out. You can sort of feel already that Kuz is like, oh, I am under the pump here. I'm really not sure what I'm going to do here. And then the last one came in from Isaiah Thomas. Come on, killer. LOL. That one ain't it. Ha ha. Kuz, by this point, I think is just tired of responding and coming up with new stuff. And just said, it's cold out, LOL. So, really good job there from everyone last night. Kuz, look, he knew he was going to bring some attention to himself last night. Tried to defend it. I think he realized this is probably not a fit we're going to see from him again. But listen, sometimes you just never know. Maybe people he thought were going to be like, yeah, I could like a tweet, I could like a sweater like that, but don't think so.
I mean, it's a nice color on him. It's just comically, it's like a giant check that yeah. Ryan Setz got for winning yeah. a bowling tournament. It's just too damn big. I thought you were going to go with Sean Yu. I know one of your favorite Twitter personalities out there, Lee. Yes. He said he wants to see somebody pull off that sweater that Kuzma had, the scarf that Serge Ibaka wore one time, which yeah, was like, the, if you yeah, remember, yeah, yeah. just gigantic down to the floor, yeah. and Tracy McGrady's giant pants that he wore on NBA TV.
Pure comfort.
Yeah. So we'll see if anybody can pull off all three. What do you think of the sweater there, Tass? The giant sweater on Kuz?
I think he put it on yep. as soon as he got out of the car, and then took it off as soon as he got in the locker room. He wore it for like 13 seconds,
right,
I think.
Right, just the walkway here.
The walkway, which isn't much of a walkway. It's like a dimly lit hallway.
Yep.
Yeah, so did he wear it? No. IMO. He didn't wear it. He didn't really wear it.
Oh, you don't think it counts as wearing it if you wear it from the car to the locker room?
He freaking, the door closed, the locker room door closed, and he ripped that thing off. It doesn't feel authentic.
If I'm his teammate and he walks into the locker room wearing that, somebody, or at least a couple of us, we have to wrap him up, right? Into like a straight jacket. Like you gotta take the sleeves, wrap him around his chest, and then tie it in the back so he's stuck. I mean, you have to have, I hope that at least happened in the Wizards locker room. But TK, man, you get off the fire fits on our show. Would you wear this? You like it? Thumbs up, thumbs down?
I like it. I don't know why. Once I saw the video of Ben Simmons, I got Simmons on the mind right now. Kyle Kuzma, saw him walking. Unbelievable. It looked like he was floating. This thing was so long. Then once he gets to the locker room, he had to roll up his sleeves for like 30 seconds to be able to get to his hands to open the door. But I don't know. He's right. It's getting cold out, and this thing looks incredibly cozy. I don't know. Is there video of him wearing it like post-game? You would imagine that after the game, he's all sweaty. He's got to put on this giant sweater.
I'm not sure. Anyway, what a look. What a look. JD, any final thoughts on Kyle Kuzma's giant pink sweater?
I mean, not really. It's, no. You know, Serge Ibaka had the scarf, and I thought that actually worked. This does not work for me. I mean, no. He looks like a toddler wearing his dad or mom's sweater, like yeah. around. It's
looks yeah. like when any of us would try on one of Shaq's articles of clothing yeah. around the
yeah.
old office.
Yeah, totally.
That's exactly what Nora said, Trey.
I reject the notion that it's cold. Like his, like he should have just said it's fashion, man. It's just fashion, but not yeah. cold. Like look at his shoulders are totally exposed. I mean, he needs a Serge Ibaka scarf to go along with this.
Oh thing. Wow, is he scumbag Steven it up underneath
I think
that sweater?
So.
Wow.
Interesting. Oh, you know, there's no undershirt.
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy.
Okay, there you go. Let's hear from everybody in the stream team. Thumbs up or thumbs down. Let us know in the YouTube comments below as well. Great tweet of the night there, Lili. And I think you were you brought up whether or not you thought that was like one of those fake things, Lee, where like they make it bigger and bigger and bigger. People did do that as well. That was going around. Every 25 likes, the sweater got 25% bigger. It got gigantic in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
Pick 'em results, though, brought to you by BetMGM from last night. Thunder Hawks game. Hawks were favored by 10.5. I was the only one to take OKC. Hawks pulled away in the third quarter, like we said. I turned to my man Trey. I said, I sort of like my chances of a backdoor cover on this one, you know? Hawks starters are going to get out of there. Yeah, Thunder got a lot of these guys sort of fighting for a position in this league. Maybe they keep it close and somehow cover. They almost did. In fact, it was the worst way to lose because the Thunder hit a three. They cut it to 11, and there's like, what was there, like 30 seconds left in the game, and the Hawks did the thing like, well, we've won the game, so we will just stand here with the ball, run the shot clock down, and then there'll be 4 seconds left, and I'm going, oh, will somebody on the Thunder get that ball and just chuck up a shot? You know, it's an unwritten rule to not do that, but you see it sometimes. Sometimes like, who cares, I'm getting my 3 points, or I'm getting a shot up, who cares, I want to get in the box score. But they didn't. The Thunder got a chance, 4 seconds on the sidelines, and they threw it in, and nope. So I lost.
A lot of respect out there taking those shot clock violations.
I was screaming for them to shoot it, but they did not. So that's a loss for me. I'm 7-9. Trey improves to 8-8. Wins for everybody else. Task 13-3 and Lee 10-6. So it's really getting down to me and TK here. Only 4 games on tonight, Task. Where are we going?
Let's get to 500, everybody. Let's do this thing. I stayed away from Dallas Clippers because Luka's status uncertain. Stayed away from the Denver Nuggets game for the same reason with Nikola Jokic. I was trying to get away from this East Coast bias, the Knicks. They're playing the Lakers, but I couldn't. I couldn't get away from it. So we're going Knicks at home, 3.5-point favorites against the Los Angeles Lakers. No LeBron, suspended. Rose is questionable. So that gave us varying opinions here. Splitsville for us. 2 on the Lakers. 1 on the Knicks and 1 on the Statue of Liberty as Lee tweets the emoji or sent in the emoji of the Statue of Liberty.
I actually
that's a good one.
I actually sent in an apple first. I had the apple ready and then I was like, Big Apple. I think that'd be pretty obvious. Then I remembered Statue. It's Liberty. Bang. In.
Wow. This guy knows emojis.
Statue.
And this ain't the
Liberty.
WNBA. It's not the New York Liberty. It's the New York Knicks.
All right.
Against the Lakers. Yeah, that's going to be a tough one.
Yep.
Looking forward to it.
3.5. So Knicks got to win by 4 more for TK and Lee to get the victory. I could really use the Lakers giving us a very close game or winning outright in order to tie this up with Trey as we start running out of days in November. All right. Should be a good one. That's the first game on TNT tonight. And the Nuggets Blazers, I believe, is the second game of that doubleheader. We'll call it there. Long one. Lots of fun. Lots of laughs. Send in your questions, guys. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com. Hit us up on Twitter @NoDunksInc. Drop a comment below this vid. If you haven't, subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Share the show. Like the vid. And grab yourself an Athletic subscription. Hell of a deal. Deal of the year, they're calling it. $1 a month for 12 months for new subscribers. Go to TheAthletic.com/NoDunks. You've got less than a week now to sign up for that. So don't drag your feet. You know, don't drag your sweater on the floor like your Kyle Kuzma there. That would have been a mess. It's basically like all over the ground almost. It's so long. Imagine cleaning that, Lee. Would you drop that off at dry cleaning? What do you do? Take up your entire washing machine.
Yeah, that's why I think you have to go to the dry cleaners. They've got the big industrial cleaners. So, yeah.
I think you're right.
I agree.
Yep. Okay, guys. Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And sorry, JD, you're going to go a little bit longer here. I've got some info from a man, Ryan Seton, the incredible bowler Ryan Seton, about bowling balls.
Okay.
I asked him, can you drill holes anywhere on a bowling ball? Can you, put your fingers wherever you want? He said, every bowling ball has a core. So where you drill the holes basically determines if the ball goes further down the lane before hooking or vice versa. I said, can you put the holes anywhere? Answer the
Just
question.
Answer the damn question.
He said, you can put them in some places, but not everywhere because you can't touch the core. And then he sent me a photo. Oh. He sent me a photo of a bowling ball with a yellow dot on it. He said that yellow circle is the pin, the top of the core. That's what that yellow circle indicates. Okay. That spot says... tour with the circle thing is the center of gravity of the core. That's where the center of the gravity of the core is. Wow, physics, man. The placement of the holes use this information and a few other things to decide the best placement of the holes. So it's about it's physics, man.
Wow.
And I said, can you get larger hole sizes? He said, yes, there are standard hole sizes, but you can get larger. I do because I use grips and a thumb sleeve. I said, are you a professional bowler? He said, fuck no. And then he said, I bowled for the first time in 20 months last week, but he's won tournaments and he's a professional bowler in my heart because he's got the maple moxie to win bowling tournaments and to tell us about burying strikes. I can't believe that all that info is buried in a 2-hour podcast right at the end. Ryan Seton buries strikes. He buries the info for us on bowling balls. Anyways, cool story, bro.
Embrace the day, people. You could stay, ooh, every day. And I'd be happy every minute. It's been so long, but you're the one I've waited for.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.